before Hashem, and they were nifter. Then afterwards, the Torah goes on to say an azhara to Aaron not to come in to the Kodesh Mibes LaParoiches, and he can only come with the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and it speaks about Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So the Medrash says, why is the Misa Shnei B'nai Aharon mentioned next to Yom Kippur? To teach you that just like Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper on Yisrael, so too Misa Tzadikim is Mechaper on Yisrael. There's another drosha that says, Loma Samach HaKosav Misa Miriam L'Parshas Parah Aduma. Lamdecha, just like the Efer of Parah Aduma is Mechaper on Yisrael, so too, Mises Tzadikim is Mechaper on Yisrael. So Chassam Sofer asks a question, why do we have to have two drushes for this? Why do we have to have a drush over here next to Yom HaKippurim that Mises Tzadikim is Mechaper? And we also have to have a drush by Miriam next to Parah Adum. So Dr. Chassam Sofer, there's two kinds of kaporas. There's a difference between the kapora of Parah Aduma and the kapora of Yom HaKippurim. The kapora, which is said by Parah Aduma, even though it's entire individuals, but the kapora that it says is a general kapora over Klal Yisrael. When they shechted the Parah Aduma, it was a kapora for Klal Yisrael in general, but it was not a kapora for every single individual. Yom HaKippurim, we know that everybody stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a kapora for each individual. By Mises Tzadikim, you find the same thing. There's a Mises Tzadikim that's Mechaper on Klal Yisrael in general, but it's not Mechaper for every single individual. And there's a Mises Tzadikim that's Mechaper for each and every individual. What's the chiluk? When do we say this and when do we say that? Klal Yisrael, they were Choyte. Klal Yisrael, they were Choyte. And Reiv Averis point in the wrong direction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away a tzaddik to be mechaper on the whole world. It's a kapara from the entire generation. But it's shaykh for Mises Tzadikim to be a kapara for every individual. If the individuals are misabel over the tzaddik and they feel the tzar as if it's their own personal tzar, then Mises Tzadikim is mechaper on each individual. Says Dr. Chassam Sofer. Sofer says that by Miriam, the Medrash tells us that Klal Yisrael was not misabel karoy. They didn't feel the tzar. Why? Because right away they got busy complaining about there's no water, Miriam's no longer around, the Be'er Shemuel was no longer around. They got so preoccupied with the water, they weren't mistar over Miriam. So her Misa was a general, it was a kapara clovis, but it wasn't a protistic kapala. That's the name of the paraduma. So this Misa's Miriam, the paraduma, you find such a thing by tzaddikim, they're taken away, and it's a clovisdic kapara for Klal Yisrael. Out of an avu, it says, the chol beis Yisrael gifku es hasreif ha-shesar of Hashem. And every individual over there was misabel over the p'tira of not of avu. So by them, this mechamisa tzadikim liyayim ha-kippurim, that just like Yom Kippur is a kapara for each individual, so too the misa tzadikim of not of avu was a kapara for each individual. So there's a chassam sofer and mo'yid ha-kipshat. It says, v'somach aron ashtei yodav al reish ha-sor ha-chai. Two seirim, echad l'Hashem, echad l'Azazel. V'nosa asir olav es kol avaynoisa. The seir l'Azazel will carry on it all of their aveiros. Says a Medrash Rabban Parshas told us it says the following: when Rivki Imenu told Yaakov Avinu to k'shtei gedoy yizim, kach l'cho shnei gedoy yizim toivim. Take for yourself two good gedim, two good goats. Dashin the Medrash, toivim loch v'toivim levanech. Good for you and good for your sons. Toivim loch, it's good for you. Shal yodam atanoitel habrachas. Through these gedoyim are going to take the brachas. V'toivim levanecha, and good for your sons. Shal yodam mischaper lehem v'yayim ha-kippurim, echad l'Hashem v'echad l'azazel. You're going to take two gedoyim, and in the future, they're going to take two gedoyim. It'll be mechuper to them, echad l'Hashem v'echad l'azazel. So the Beis HaLevi and Parshas Tovos asks a number of questions. Number one, what shaykhis do the two gedoyim that Yaakov Avinu took for Yitzchok, what shaykhis does that have over here with Echad Hashem v'Echad Azazel, the Kapara? Or number two, why was Rivka so adamant in trying for the brachas? The brachas were, after all, things of Olam Hazeh. We don't find tzaddikim that are so into trying to pursue in Yonim Avayon Hazeh. Why was she so interested in this? Number three, I might say after the brachas, Yaakov Avinu didn't get it. Throughout most of history, Esav is the one that dominates the world. Esav has the Ashiris of the world, and we don't have that. So what did we end up getting from the brachas? And number four, does that mean, Taki, that the bracha was not Makuyim? Right? It turns out that all of the Ishtadlus and Yaakov Avinu Mamash made it through, and he was like, to get the brachas, but it turns out everything was in vain. So what's the pshat over here? Zokta Beis HaLevi, that Rivka Yemenu was not so interested so much in getting the Gashmias. That was not the Ikar over here. She wanted him to get the brachas of Inyana Yoylem HaZef HaVos, because she knew there was a good chance that Esau was going to take it away. Right? So anyway, Yaakov Avinu is not going to end up with it. So what difference does it make if Yaakov Avinu has the L'chitchila or not? The answer is, if it's Yaakov Avinu's L'chitchila and Esav takes it away, then that could be used to take away from the Averis of Yaakov Avinu and the Averis from Klal Yisrael. Because on the one hand, they deserved it. This is their bailus. On the other hand, it's taken away from them. So it comes out that their schus and Olam Hazeh was taken away. That's Menachah from their Averis. That was the Kavanah of Rivka Imenu. Even if Yaakov Avinu doesn't end up with it, her Iker Kavanah was, if it gets taken away, this Kataka be a Siba for Kapara for years later on. So it comes out, number one, the Brachas were Yemakuyim. The Brachas were Taka given to Yaakov Avinu. We don't have it. Esav took it away. So what did we gain by that if Esav takes it away? We might not gain in the Gashmi's the aspect of it, although loss is lovely, it will be ours, right? But throughout history, this was a ploy used by Rivka Imenu, that if the riches get taken away from Yaakov Avinu, it could be used to be menachah from the Averis of Klal Yisrael. So that's Trenton the Medrash. Kachlor Shnei Gnoi Yizim, Toivim Lachim V'Toivim Levanech. It's good for you, you'll be Zoichet to the Ashiras. But Toivim Levanech, at the end, the Shnei Gnoi Yizim, the Sirech of Azazel, what's the Sirech of Azazel? We push it off the cliff, we give it to Seir. Seir and Seir is the same thing, we give it to Esav. And that signifies that after Rosh Hashanah, we were Zoichet to Parnassah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the world Parnassah and Rosh Hashanah. We give this, it's a simon that a chelik was going to be taken away by Esav, and that gufa for us is the biggest kapara. That's the kesher between the Shnei Gdoyi Yizim and the Sirech L'Hashem, who Sirech L'Azazim. The pasuk says, V'noso ha-soyer olov is kol ha-ve-noisav el eretz gzeiru. And the Seir L'Azazel will carry upon it all of their Averis to the wilderness. There's a Medrash that says like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes all the Averis of Klal Yisrael. He puts them on the Seir L'Azazel that represents Esav HaRosh. Seir and Seir Ela Esav. Esav says, Rabbi Yishleilo, How much koyach do I have? That you're giving me all their Averis? You're giving all the Averis of Yaakov? You're placing it upon me? At that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes their Averis and he puts it on his own begotten. That kind of statement, Medrash. L'chitchila, he wants to put everything on Esav. He should carry the burden of Klal Yisrael's Averis. But Esav complains, it's too much for me. So he takes whatever Averis are extra and he puts it on his begotten. What's shot in the Medrash over here? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on L'chitchila? And what's Esav complaining about? And what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu has putting it on his begging help in it? So if Nosan Adlas, they could tell the Kodesh L'vracha, he says, I'm married to Gipshat. He says, the emphasis is, Esav is responsible for our Averis. We're in this lengthy Golas. The Tzoros we've been put through, the Anias that we have, Machmas, the Golas, that is a garden that we're not doing Avodas Hashem properly. So Mimela, we could be told our Averis on Esav. However, if it's an Aveira, we're not doing our Aveira properly, we're not davening properly, we're not learning properly, we're a little bit lazy in mitzvahs or whatever, those kinds of Aveiras, Esav says, okay, I can understand. But Aveiras that they do because of Taiva, because of Yetzahara, Adarabba, if anything, the Golas should have knocked down their Taiva. And they're still Isaac and Aveiras of Taiva. You can't put that burden on me. And that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes those Aveiras of Taiva, and he places it on his beged. What is his beged? There's a Gemara in Masechtas Baba Basra that says, "Val Gilbash Tzedaka Kisirion." Kodesh Baruch Hu takes the tzedakah of Klal Yisrael and he puts it on like a coat of armor. And with that, he takes Klal Yisrael to himself and he shields them with the tzedakah that they do in Golos. Despite the fact that they're poor, despite the fact that they don't have the gashmis of the world, and yet they're Isaac and Isaac tzedakah, that's mechapa for those aveiris that Isaac does not want to accept upon himself. So the aveiris of shvachkeit and Torah mitzvahs, that goes on Isaac for sure. Aveiris of tithe, Isaac said, don't blame me if anything. My working them hard should have knocked down their tithe. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes, by Yuvar tzedakah kisirion, it's an armor, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the tzedakah that's mechapa. Those are theirs. Those are from Nosson Adler, shot in the Medrash. The Pasuk says, Kemaase Eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem bo, like the actions of the land of Mitzrayim where you lived. Lo yisasu, you shouldn't do. Uchemaase Eretz Kenan asher ani mevi eschem shama, lo yisasu. And like the maasim of Eretz Kenan that I'm bringing you there, you should not do. Uvechoseim lo yiseleich. So Rashi points out, Vosefes HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns us against these two nations in particular. So Rashi, Magid, this teaches me, Shema'aseim shel Mitzrim v'shel Kenanim mikul kol mikol ha'umos. They were the most depraved nations of the world. They were the most mikulkul of everybody. And the place where Klal Yisrael lived in Mitzrayim, Goshen, that was mikulkul minat kol. Unlike what we're accustomed to think, that they were isolated from the Mitzrayim, they were in Goshen, you know, they were away from it all. He said, the Medrash seems to say not like that. How that exactly stems with them sitting in an isolated place to be away from the Mitzrayim, that the Mepharshim speak about, we dealt with that a different time, right? But Rashi says that these two nations were the most mekulkul menakar. So the Klal Yisrael asks a question on Rashi's pshat. He says, Sisum Yaakov Shmuel was saying, don't be like the worst ones. But it's mashmi, you could be like regular guy. If anything, you want to stay away from the ways of the regular guy as well. So how could Rashi learn, don't be like my Sarah to Mitzrayim, like the Kananim, like the worst ones they did to Yehud. So that seems to apply, but the ones that are not so bad, the decent guy, you could be like them. What's the pshat? So Klal Yisrael learns the exact opposite. He says the Mitzrayim and the Kananim were not so bad. Or at least I would think they're not so bad. Why? Because Yosef chose the land of Goshen for his family to stay. So I would have thought if Yosef chose this land for them to stay, obviously the guy that lived there were on a higher madrega. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Eretz Canaan for us to live. Obviously he wants us to live in a land where there's a good Hashbah. So therefore I would have thought that these guys were not so bad. I don't have to watch out for them. Kamash Malan. That even Goshen and Mitzrayim, which Yosef chose out for his brothers, and even those Mitzrayim, and even the Canaan, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose this land. So the Canaan were better than regular Goyim. Afal Piken, you should not do like that. So much the Klal Yisrael is learning the exact opposite of Rashi. Rashi is learning that they were mikulkul mikol ha'umos, and the Klal Yisrael is saying, what happened? If Yosef chose them, they weren't so bad. If Hashem chose Eretz Yisrael, the Canaan weren't so bad. The Chiddush is even from them, you have to watch out. What's that with the Pshat and Rashi? So I saw Moshe Feinstein, Zechitzavik, the Kodesh Lebrach, and the Sefer Dorish Moshe, he learns Pshat and Rashi, that name. This is not an Azhara, not to be only like the worst ones. And you can't imply from over here, but you could be like the better ones. Name Lahab. Zichur, Mitzrayim, like Rashi says, they were the worst ones. We could call it. And Zichur, the Kananim were also Mikul Kolam. But HaKadosh Baruch was telling us like this, don't do like even the better Goyim. The better Goyim, what do? We're not going to do Toyevis, that we're not going to do. But things that lead to Toyevis, that we're not going to stay away from. Right? So then he says, Kamase Eretz Mitzrayim Leisasu, which means, don't let yourself be sucked into the Toyevis of Mitzrayim and Kanan by acting like the better Goyim. Because you see, Mitzrayim and the Canaan were also like that, lechatchila, right? They also made up, we're not going to do Tayeva, right? But the things that lead to Tayeva, you know, that we don't have to worry about. And look where they ended up. Memela, you shouldn't even be like the better guy. The better guy, if it's Tayeva, I'll stay away from it. But stuff that leads to it that I won't stay away from. That, he's warning them that if you don't do completely staying away from all the gzeiros and all, you don't do all the harchokis, then you're going to end up like that as well. So Adar Rabbi Ramesh is saying that Nichlul in this lab is not even to be like the better guy. Tegrado wants to hear a shot similar to what Ramesh says. And that is, I might have heard it from Rishon Shvadron Zatzal. What is the Torah warning us over here? The Kamaisa Eretz Mitzrayim, the Maisim of Canaan, all of the Yisurim in the Torah are specified. The Arayas are specified. The Te'evas, the abominations are specified. So what is the Torah being Maisif over here with this Pasuk? What Yisurim are we talking about here in particular? So the answer is, we're talking about the Harchakas. We're talking about things that if you're not careful with these things, they're going to end up being Te'ev. So that's Mamash Shnim, is exactly what Ramesh is saying. Hashem is telling us, don't wait till it gets to the Te'eva. Stay away from it, L'chadchila. V'chisavoyu ala oretz, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, unitatem kol eitz macho, and you'll plant fruit trees, v'araltem or losoi, it's period, you should treat it as forbidden fruit, shol eshon for 3 years, this arv. So the Medrash Rabbah says on this pasuk, hado d'chsiv, about this it is written, eitz chayim hi l'machazik. Torah is the tree of life for those that support it. So that's sort of the question, what's the connection between the Isser of Arla, not eating the fruits of Arla, and the Tzchaim Hila Machazikim? But what's the connection? You know, this is Arla, this is Torah. So Hagoyin Ramayshi Yitzchok Da'ab Bezen of Ponovich, that's how, said the Pshat like this. The Medrash is bothered by a question. The Lashon of the Pasuk was, V'chisavayu ala oretz, unitatem kol eitz maichol. And you will plant every Eitz Maichel. It's mashma, you're going to do it bevada. Right? You come to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to plant Eitz Maichel. I can tell you, see, there's a chiv to plant trees. What it should have said was, im titu, if you will plant. Or ki situ, if, when you will plant. But why are you saying over here, unitatem kol Eitz Maichel? You will plant Eitz Maichel. Why is the Torah saying the Torah is vada? So shma, you know, the Medrash derived from over here, that there's a different kind of a planting that we're talking about over here. And that's planting the Kaimis HaTayr. Right? There's a mitzvah, it's Chayim Hila Machazikim Bo, there's a mitzvah planting the Kaimis HaTayr. He's Mavar like this. When the Yidden were in the Midbar, and all of the Trachim were taken care of, they had the Mom, they had the Bear, they had everything, and they didn't have to work on Parnassah. So then everybody was able to sit and learn. But now they're coming to Eretz Yisrael. They had to settle the land, they had to plow the land and plant the land. So good chelik of the people would be busy with parnassah. So what's the etzah for these people? They can't learn the way they did. So that is said, if you support those that sit and learn, and you support the founding of Mekaymas HaTayra, with that you'll be Mekaymas HaTayra as well. This is where the Medrash got the connection between Kesavayu Unitatem, Hado Dersiv Eitzchayim Hila Machazikim Bo. They came to Eretz Yisrael, yes, there was a valley like planting. Because those that couldn't learn, at least they had to support Shevet Levi, they had to support those that were sitting and learning. I got to be so murdered because I fight the Doilum or Moisir Nefesh to plant Tyre. I saw a beautiful story. I go in at Tzadik of Zadel Epstein, Zadik of Tzadik of Raka. He was a Rosh Hashiva in RJJ. And then in later years, he went to Eretz Yisrael. He was a Mashgiach there. He was a Mashgiach in Tara Ar. So he had a Talmud that was reading up in one of the Jewish publications a write-up about Hagoyin Rav Aharon Kalmanovich Zatzal. His Mesivas Nefesh during World War II, the Zechuyos he had in saving people, his Zechuyos Migmar B'Tzteira, it was a whole write-up on him. And he kept on telling Rav Zadel, his Rebbe, different sections of the biography. So he sees Rav Zadel as Azeifa Trach, he's very edely Yid. I saw him. I was lucky to see him. And I go edely. He's vertracht as him. He said, I want to tell you a story that I had firsthand with Rav Aharon Kalmanovich. So when I first came to America, sir, I was a Rosh Hashiva in RJJ. So Rav Aharon, for some reason, I found favor in his eyes. And he was starting a yeshiva in Brooklyn, the Miri Yeshiva. So he came over to me. And he asked me I should be a Rosh Hashiva there and I should help him start the yeshiva. So I told him, I'm here already. I have a Kabbalah that I heard B'Shem Rav Chaim Volozhiner, if you're masliach in one place, you don't jump to another place. B'Shem Rav Yisrael, I told him I can't do it. And he persisted, and I kept on saying no. He promised he's going to give me a much higher salary, all those things. I said, listen, I can't. It's not right. So finally, in desperation, he comes over to me. He says, I want to make a business deal with you. He says, I'm willing to give you half of my zechuyos that I was kind of for saving Yidden during World War II. I'm willing to give you half my ganeid. I'll sign it on a shtar. I bet you should come and start the yeshiva with me. He said, no. I'm not picking, that's a pellet. Zehu said, no. He said, I have this kapol, it's not right, it's not an ayashus. I feel I can't do it. So he said over, take a look at Heichan Advarim Magiyim. It says, Ongegang in 11, that he has to start the yeshiva al-derech that he wants. He felt I'm the one. He's willing to give away half of his olam haba of saving Yidden Kol HaMakayim Nefesh Achaz B'Yisrael Ki L'Kayim Olam Bali. He saved who knows how many Yidden. He's willing to give away half just to start the yeshiva. But how can we see the godless of Rav Zeidel? He was strong in his convictions. He wasn't willing to accept this business deal. So this Talmud heard this ma'isa. See, he was just as nespoiled from Rav Zeidel. So he decided he's going to go ask the Rebbetzin if she knows more protim about the story. He goes and asks the Rebbetzin. She never heard the story in her life. And Rav Zeidel didn't say a word about it. Did not say a word. It was a total surprise. Never heard any talk about it or whatever. So Agam, you see the godless of Ravron Kalmanovich, how much he was willing to be Maisa Nefesh in order to plant Tayyar. A similar Maisa with Rav Mordechai Shulman. Agoyin Rav Mordechai Shulman, when he came to Bnei Brak after the war, so we went to the Chazanish, what should I do? So start a yeshiva. Where should I start a yeshiva? Bnei Brak. So he says, Panavisharov is starting a yeshiva now. I should infringe on his yeshiva. So go ask the Panavisharov. So he's very uncomfortable. He goes to the Panavisharov. He says, you know, I was just by the Chazanish. And I asked him what I should do, and he said, I should start a yeshiva here in Bnei Brak. I told him, I don't want to do that. The Pana Vizhara, before he even had a chance to finish, the Pana Vizhara says, Vos Pana Vizhara, then Pana Vizhara, you have to build Tayyar. Makes no difference whose it is. You have to build Tayyar. So he says, that's what the Chazanish told me you were going to say, but I had to hear it with my own ears. That's the Pshat Havayit these people went. Is the tree of life for those that hold on to it. You should keep my Shabbos and you should fear my Beis HaMikdash. I am Hashem. So Rashi brings down over here, what's the smichus between Shmiras Shabbos and the Beis HaMikdash? Even though I'm warning you about the Beis HaMikdash, Ein binyan beis hamikdash doicha Shabbos. Binyan beis hamikdash is not doicha Shabbos. This is a Gemara in Yavamis da Bava Menal. So the Al-Shech HaKadosh asks a question. Why is it that the bringing of the Korbanos Tzibur is yeh doicha Shabbos and the building of the whole beis hamikdash, the whole edifice, which one would think that's more of an ikker, right? That's not doicha Shabbos. Why should it be like that? So the Mesivus HaMishvot, and he has a sefer on Chumash, Nachlas Yankev on Parshas VaYakev, he says, Amari de Keteretz. He says, the Korbanos, they are Maisa Bnei Adam. They're actions of Bnei Adam. Actions of Bnei Adam are very choshev in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can they kach, they're so choshev that he says they're Doicha Shabbos. But the Binyan HaMishkan was not Maisa Bnei Adam. There's a Zohar HaKadosh that says that the moment they started the animals, we know the Medrash that says Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do the menorah, so he threw it into the fire and it came out of menorah, right? But the Zohar HaKadosh says that every single chelik of the Beis HaMikdash, the moment they started working on it, it got finished by itself. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu that built the Mishkan. The Mele, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to rest on Shabbos. He says, for my children, their ma'isim are chashuv enough for me that I'm willing for them to be mechalal Shabbos. But the binyan on Mishkan itself, that's my binyan. For that, you know, I have Menucha Shabbos. So I heard of Schlesinger, you know, Zolgazunzain, he spoke about this once, and he asked, that's all very good for the Mishkan, but what about the Beis HaMikdash? That L'chayr was built by Bnei Adam. So he said he was Ma'ayin in the Zohar, because Yitaka mentions the Beis HaMikdash was the exact same thing. They started building, and in the process, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished building all of that. So, Legabi HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests on Shabbos. But Legabi, the Maisim of Bnei Yodim, that's so chavah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he wants that even on Shabbos. I wouldn't Shabbos.
Yeah.